Hello, everyone. This is Dr. Patricia Bay, and you are tuning in to Therapy in a Nutshell here on KCNR 96.5 FM, 1460 AM, your talk radio. Today, we are going to be talking about how to fight fair fighting. I was giving this a lot of thought because I refer people to my former podcasts on communication and on conflict resolution. And if you were to follow those skills really well, you wouldn't need to worry about the rules for fair fighting. But I see so many people that need some extra information, and to put it in terms of when I'm really angry and when I'm really upset, how do I discuss it in a productive manner with my partner, my boss, my child, my teenager, my friend? So the rules for fair fighting are pretty simple, and the visuals I want to give you today are something I hope you can hold on to and to the table when you need to talk about something difficult with somebody you love. So I want to share a story with you that I think is really, it's always struck me as funny. It was like late 80s and like early 90s, I moved to my new building down the street from where I was. And the very, very first couple that I saw in my new office were sitting in the chairs that back up against this wall, and they were screaming at each other. They were screaming the F-bomb at the top of their lungs, and they were just going at it. I felt like a referee. I was trying to calm them down, trying to quiet them, trying to say, come on, let's do this differently. And they just were wound up and going at it. And when that session ended, I remember Joan Pohanic, who rented space in my building for many, many years and is a dear friend. Joan walked out of her office and she looked at me and she said, I hope all your clients aren't like that. It was hysterical. Anyway, that couple did learn how to communicate, by the way, but it took them a while. But is your communication, is your fighting like that? Do you scream and yell and drop the F-bomb at each other and say horrible things? If so, you have a style of fighting that's at one end of the spectrum. And what I'm going to do in the second section of the show is I'm going to teach you about the spectrum of fair fighting, all the way from one extreme to the other. And I want you to be able to figure out, where do you fall in your own personal style? Where does your relationship fall in the style between two people, whether it's your child or your husband or your wife or your boss? Doesn't matter. So right now I want to give you a visual about how we interact with somebody else. Let's look at the idea that how you fight could be a game of tennis, all right? So are you on one side of the net trying to get a game going, trying to lob a ball over, and the other person's turned away, doesn't want to play, is not engaging, and you're like, hey, come on, play tennis with me, and they're just ignoring you, they're pulling away. That's one style. Are you a couple or in a communication arrangement with somebody that you are gently lobbing the ball back and forth and really trying to picture where you're going to plant the ball and being very careful about it and doing it in such a way that the other person can send it back? That's another way to look at your game of tennis. Are you playing a fast and furious game where each of you are hitting the ball as fast and as hard as you can and just really going at it back and forth, back and forth, back and forth? And in some ways it's very satisfying and in some ways it's exhausting, but at the end of it you're going, whoa, that was incredible. Another one is, are you playing the game by yourself? Are you lobbing balls over and the other person never gets a chance to send the ball back because you're doing it fast and furious, you're hitting it where they can't get it, they're ducking and weaving and trying to avoid the balls that you're hitting over? You're basically playing a one-person game. Now, let's take another extension of that. Are you lobbing balls over and hitting balls over the net really fast, and then are you running around to the other side trying to hit the ball back for the person? In other words, are you saying something and then answering for the person on the other side, never giving them a chance to lob the ball back? And then another type would be, are you angrily hitting the ball as hard as you can, as fast as you can, trying to hit the person on the other side, trying to show them that you're better than them, faster than them, smarter than them, and that you can outplay them at any time. So we could come up with more examples of how people play tennis, but let's use that metaphor to look at how do you communicate? Do you try to communicate in a way that can go back and forth, or are you hogging the ball, or are you too angry with the ball? So stop for a minute and say, how do I communicate? Now, I know many people want to say, how does my partner communicate? We want to talk about them. It's all their problem. But the very first avenue toward change and development and growth is to stop and say, how do I communicate? What are my strengths? What are my weaknesses? And take a look at that, because that's the beginning, and that's where you're going to go with this show today, listening to how it works and how you can do it differently. So we're live here today, too, so if you have a comment or a question, you can call in. We're at KCNR, and it's 530-605-4567. My producer, Jared, will answer the phone, so you won't interrupt the show. And you can put your two cents in if you want. The other thing is you can go to kcnr1460.com/live, and you can make comments on the chat on the computer. All right, so when you are trying to communicate with somebody, you've got to stop and look at what you do and how you communicate. One of the things I see often is when someone has so much to say, or they're so upset, or they're over the top with feelings, they will tend to monopolize the conversation. And I talk about this in my communication podcast and on conflict resolution, but when we are really full of information, of feelings, of hurt, of whatever, we tend to go on and on and on and on. So if you're that type of communicator, you need to stop and take a look at that. The other thing is when we feel that we're not being heard, it's very easy for any of us to start looping. We'll say what we mean or what we're feeling, and then we'll come back around and say it again, sometimes in a slightly different way, sometimes in the exact same way. And we're trying to get ourselves heard and the point made. So when the person you're talking to can actually hear you and say, I understand you feel, or I heard you said, or this is what I think you were telling me, sometimes the person will stop looping. If you are someone who loops, then you're the person who's playing tennis by yourself, because you don't give a chance for someone else to talk or have some feelings or get a word in. So you want to stop and say, do I loop? And what can I do to begin to recognize that? So these are some of the things that get in the way of fair fighting, and a very beginning point for which you should stop and say, who am I, how do I do it, and what do I do? Remember that anger and being upset and very strong negative emotions are outward flowing emotions. They flow out from you, and they say to other people, get away, back off. If you are a very developed person, then you have a wall underneath this anger and these difficult feelings. But a developed person has a very small wall, or almost no wall, or a very porous wall. A very undeveloped person has a very thick wall, like picture 6 feet of concrete. Underneath that wall are all the inward feeling emotions. They are the more developed feelings. It's not that the anger or the fear is an undeveloped emotion. They're a very righteous emotion, but it's not that they're not a righteous emotion. They're an undeveloped emotion. So they're righteous. They are called to consciousness, that underneath that wall are a lot of things that you feel intensely: embarrassed, lost, depressed, miserable, betrayed. And so those are the feelings that you want to learn how to attend to. We're going to take a break, and when we come back, we're going to talk about more things about fair fighting, so you really understand where you're coming from. Okay, this is Therapy in a Nutshell, and we will be back in a minute.
Purpose-driven banking. That's the vision behind the founding of Five-Star Bank in 1999. Services inspired by partnership and defined by shared vision and goals. Five Star Bank, a champion of local economic development and community stewardship. Your success is their success. Now that's smart people doing good business. In a world that's both more connected and more isolated by high tech, Five Star Bank brings you a personal touch to small business banking, cash management, and online services. Five Star Bank, consistently rated among the very best by industry associations, rating agencies, and of course, customers and partners just like you. Your partner in success is Five Star Bank. FiveStarBank.com. Visit your local branch at 358 Hartnell in Reading. Progressive, professional, personal. That's Five Star Bank. Equal housing lender, member FDIC.
At Orchard Nutrition Center, we strive to be the gatekeepers of 100% organically grown produce. Our goal is to provide you and your family with produce that is fresh from the farm and pure 100% organically grown. Orchard Nutrition Center, Cypress Square Shopping Center, Reading.
When you're looking to add a pet to your family, Haven Humane Society is a place to start. Hi, this is Mark from Haven to tell you that shelter pets make the best pets. With kittens, puppies, dogs, cats, bunnies, guinea pigs, hamsters, snakes, birds, and more, Haven has a pet that is the right fit for your family. We also provide education, training, spaying and neutering, dog licensing, and so much more. If you're looking for a way to help, our amazing volunteers have fun with the animals while helping us to save lives. For more information, call 241-1653 or visit havenhumane.org. Like us on Facebook and follow our progress as we work towards a day with no more homeless pets in the North State.
While serving in Iraq, Sergeant Jason Nielsen suffered a paralyzing injury. Paralyzed Veterans of America's service officers are trained to help injured veterans get all the benefits they've earned. To help paralyzed veterans, visit pva.org.
Welcome back to Therapy in a Nutshell. This is Dr. Patricia Bay. You are listening to the beautiful music of Native American flutist Randy McGinnis. This is his song called Believe from Freedom's Hope, his CD Freedom's Hope. Randy's a Native American Music Award winner numerous times, was Native American Flutist of the Year in 2017, and his music is just incredibly beautiful. Thank you, Randy, for letting us play your music on this show. You can go to randymcginnis.com or Spotify, Pandora, Amazon, iTunes, and find his music. So welcome back to Therapy in a Nutshell here on KCNR. We are talking about fair fighting. And fair fighting is an integral part of good communication. Everybody gets mad. Everybody gets their feelings hurt. Things irritate us. And we have to have a way to communicate it, or we wreck intimacy. Now, isn't that an interesting concept? Some people think, if I never fight, if I never disagree, if I'm never angry, then things will be better. But really healthy communication, even when it's difficult, especially when it's difficult, creates intimacy. And hopefully by the end of this show today, you're going to understand why that's so. I want you to look at the idea of how we fight, how we communicate, how we express ourselves when we're feeling difficult emotions. I want you to look at it as a continuum, as a spectrum. So if you have a piece of paper, draw a line, turn your paper sideways in the landscape view, the sideways view, and draw a line across the middle of your page. And way over at the left side of the page, write the word silence. Way over at the right side of the page, write the word screaming. Those are just the basics there. There's more to it than that. But right in the middle of that spectrum, write the word connection. So let's start over in the far left side of the page. In this section of silence where people withdraw, sometimes they do love withdrawal. Love withdrawal is where you try to manipulate people by withdrawing your love and your caring from them. This is the silent treatment. I refuse to engage with you. I won't talk to you. I'm going to act like I don't care about you or I don't love you. And what I'm going to do is manipulate you with my pain. I'm showing you that I'm so severely hurt that I want you to hurt as bad as I do, and I'm going to punish you. So that silence and that love withdrawal is part of that far end of the spectrum. This is where people are striving for extreme emotional control. I'm giving you a second to digest that. Striving for extreme emotional control. They are often uncomfortable with emotion. They're usually uncomfortable with conflict. And they feel as though they can control the situation by silencing themselves, and which will in turn silence the situation. So this kind of withdrawal and huge control and shutting the other person out, you might think that it makes things better because nobody's screaming and yelling. But what it does is it disconnects you from the other person. And that creates a cutoff from the intimacy and the connection that you have with that person. Your distance increases from them. And one person often thinks everything is fine because nothing's being said. I'll share with you an example of a couple that I've seen in therapy where they'll come in and she'll start talking about, well, this is bothering me and that's bothering me and I'm worried about this and this isn't going well. And he looks at her with this incredulous look going, I thought we were fine. And she's looking at him like he's crazy. And he's saying, well, we were fine. In fact, she was really upset because a couple days before his appointment, their appointment, he said, do we even need to go? And she just is looking at him like, you know, what planet are you living on? Don't you get it that there's problems here? And he thought because they weren't screaming and yelling and fighting that she was agreeing with him that everything must be fine. So it's an okay place to start with communication when one person doesn't get it, doesn't want to, can't see it, can't hear it, or wants to avoid it like the plague. That's an okay place to start. But that person needs to learn to be able to step into their emotions and to learn how to increase intimacy by sharing and talking. Okay, so you're way on the far left side of that spectrum. Take a step a little bit to the right, and this is often the person who is willing to talk, but wants to use extreme logic to control their emotions and to control the other person. Sometimes this is where the person who loops and monopolizes the conversation and never lets anybody else talk controls it. It's similar to silence, and you're trying to control the situation, but you're trying to do it through talking. Either extreme logic, I have the right answer, I'm always right, I know what's happening here, and then you use some of the poor communication skills I'm going to tell you in the third section of the show. But you're trying to control things by either talking too much or talking super logically. Okay, now go to the middle, connection. We're going to come back to that in just a minute, but I want you to skip over and go all the way over to the extreme on the other side where we wrote screaming. This is where the person or the people have little emotional control. Now, this can be on its own little spectrum. We can talk about just screaming and yelling and saying unfair things to physical violence, domestic violence, hitting, name calling, and some of the things I'm going to teach you to never do when you're fighting in just a minute. But this is where there's little emotional control. Way down at the left was striving for extreme emotional control. At this end of the spectrum, there's little emotional control, and things get really unhealthy. I just didn't want you to think that never arguing at all is super healthy. Now, if you have really deep and good and clearing discussions that aren't arguments, that's different. But if you are silent and you shove things under and you don't talk about what's bothering you, that is not healthy and it kills intimacy. Screaming, yelling, always being right, physical violence, name calling, things that come down at that other end of very little emotional control kills intimacy as well. It makes people afraid, makes them hate the other person. And then you enter in this kind of love-hate thing where you love them, but you hate them, can't live with them, can't live without them. Okay, so let's go to the middle, where we want to try to be when we have an argument or when we have a fight. That's the area of connection. That's where we have good communication skills. That's where we seek to first understand before we seek to be understood. This is where intimacy is built, and this is where we come away from a difficult conversation feeling closer, feeling better, feeling like we're moving in the right direction. Even if that right direction is, okay, we can't come to a conclusion on this by ourselves. We need help, or we need to try something different, or can we start over and do this in a more healthy way? In this type of communication, I want to refer you back to the podcast that I do from all of these radio shows. I put them either on the Anchor app. They're on the Anchor app always. Anchor, like boat anchor, ANCHOR.FM. Or you can go to KCNR1460.com and go to the archives and click on my show, and all my shows are on there. or you can download the podcast from Spotify or iTunes. But on my list of podcasts, there's one called Communication Basics, and there's another one called Conflict Resolution. If you guys want to get some help and you want to save some money because they're free, listen to those. In fact, the way I recommend that people listen to them is you sit down with your partner, like at the breakfast table, first thing in the morning, no alcohol involved. Have a pad of paper and a pen and sit there like you're taking a little workshop. Turn your phone on, turn your iPad on, whatever, and listen to the shows together. It will be worth a bunch of couples therapy for you guys and save you some money. But when you're trying to go for this healthy middle ground with connection, we're looking for the vulnerability. We're looking for you to be able to step into yourself. And we're going to talk more about that in the fourth section of the show. But what we're trying to do now is get you to take a good look at what is your pattern. Couples, parents and kids, employees, anybody that has to communicate, which is the human condition, has a pattern. You have your own pattern that you bring to the table, and you have the pattern that you've developed with the person that you tend to fight with. So what is your pattern? Owning that is really, really important. Your patterns are based on a bunch of things. They're based on how you were raised, what you observed, what you're used to. They're based on things that you've decided and rules you've made for yourself. I often have my clients stop and I say, what are your rules? What are the Patty rules? What are the Sally rules? What are your rules that you go by? And they might be funny rules, like prejudicial rules, such as all men are bad, or all women are emotional, or teenagers are always hormonal, or something like that, that you've got a rule in your head that says an always or a never, or something like that. Some of your pattern will be based on your own personal rules, as well as your personal experience. The other thing is we, as human beings, are trainable, usually. Some aren't, but some are more trainable than others. When you get trained to shut up because you're going to get hit, or when you are trained to scream and yell because nobody listens to you until you get bigger and bigger and bigger and start screaming, you will begin to find that as part of your pattern. So it's just something for you to look at. What is your pattern? And this is where we start. Now, once you've figured out what you bring to the table, then you sit down with the person that you have arguments with and you say, what's our pattern? How do we trigger each other? What do we get started with? How does this always go so sideways that we end up fighting like cats and dogs, or we end up silent and, you know, our backs to each other and not talking to each other for a while, an hour, days, weeks? How do we do that? So if, identifying your pattern is a huge part, and this is what I do with couples in my office. How do you do this? How is it unhealthy? What part works for you? What part do you really not like? For example, in my office, people say, I absolutely hate it when he sits there and agrees with me and says, fine, and he'll change his behavior and then goes off and does exactly what he always does. That's not always the he, you guys. This is behavior that happens both ways. That's something I hear often. I hate it when somebody agrees, says I'm right, we'll change, blah, 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 and then does absolutely nothing, or goes back and does it all exactly the same way. So looking at your patterns, noticing if you're way on the far left of that spectrum where you're silence, love withdrawing, avoiding confrontation, can't handle conflict, or way on the right side, not the correct side, way on the far other end where you're screaming, hitting, violent, name-calling, little emotional control, or if you tend more toward the middle where you're trying for connection, you're trying to be vulnerable, you're trying to use some good skills, which might be why you're listening to this podcast right now. This is cool, or this radio show. All right, we're going to take a break. This is Dr. Patricia Bay, and you are going to come back to Therapy in a Nutshell in just a minute, and we're talking about fair fighting.
This is Carl Lindabot, and there is only one place you will find a new Sleep Number dual temp layer bed. That's right, Sleep Number in Reading. Be sure to go in and see them in a Target shopping center next to the Vitamin Shop. My Sleep Number is 40, and I feel great.
Right now they're making room, so go in and receive huge savings on all Sleep Number memory foam and I-Series bed sets. My Sleep Number is 55. Go find yours today. Sleep Number in the Target Center next to the Vitamin Shop.
The Cascade Theater presents four free films and a whole lot of fun this July with the Kids Summer Movie Club. Every Sunday afternoon in July, the theater opens the door at 2 with completely free admission for everybody. Turtle Bay will be there to show off some animals and hand out prizes. There's activities and then the film at 3, featuring Monsters, Inc., WALL-E, Cars, and Brave. Four films, four Sundays in July. Sponsored by JPR, KIXE, First Five Shasta, and Turtle Bay. See you there.
Come see Little Women at Riverfront Playhouse. A timeless tale that has delighted audiences for generations is being performed on the Reading stage. Follow Meg, Joe, Amy, and Beth through the ups and downs of growing up. Watch as they laugh, cry, live, and love all through the strength of sisterhood and the power of family. Written by Louisa May Alcott, adapted by John Ravold, directed by Annie Bakalennikoff. Tickets at riverfrontplayhouse.net or at Enjoy the Store in Reading. Showtimes are Friday and Saturday, 7:30, Sunday matinees at 2, running July 20th through August 17th.
Hi, this is Brian Martin, General Manager of River Common Senior Living. I want to share some thoughts from local 53-year teaching icon Phyllis Hutchinson about her experience living here at River Commons.
Absolutely. Fell in love with everything about the facilities here. The kitchen crew is awesome. The meals are wonderful. I find it interesting as I look around the dining room how every table seems pleasantly happy. I mean, they're not just sitting there eating. There's conversation. I mean, everybody here, everyone that works here has treated me like I am special. I mean, it's just amazing.
Call today for a tour or lunch in a tour and see for yourself why our residents, just like Phyllis, love living here. River Commons Senior Living, 301 Hartnell, or check us out on the web, river-commons.com.
Welcome back to Therapy in a Nutshell. You are listening to Randy McGinnis' CD, Freedom's Hope, and this is his track called Live, or Live. It's about being alive, it's about living your life, it's about feeling, just feeling. Thank you, Randy McGinnis, Native American flutist, for allowing us to use your music on my show. So we're talking about fair fighting, and I want to talk to you about some things that you should not do when you fair fight. And then in the last part of the show, I'm going to tell you some really healthy things to do so that you can be more in that centered part where you feel connection, where you build intimacy, you don't tear it down. But these are some of the exact behaviors that if you do them, you will not be fighting fair and you will be killing the intimacy in your relationship. So every once in a while, I generally like to be positive. Like you don't tell the kid, don't stick the bobby pin in the light socket, you know, because it makes you want to do it. But for some reason, when it comes to fair fighting, it really helps for you to understand the solid rules that you should not do. Okay? So one of the very first things to recognize is that fair fighting has to be based on respect. And the things that we should not do undermine respect. So the thing I hear the most in my office, and have for the 30-something years I've been doing this, is that people call each other names. Think of that couple that I saw that was screaming F-U's at each other at the top of their lungs. There's name-calling, and there's cussing and swearing, and there's heated words, and it really undermines the issue of respect. As soon as somebody starts raising their voice and adding all the really foul language and the name calling, it goes way downhill from there. And let's stop and look at the reason that it does. Name calling hurts. You know, we say sticks and stones will break my bones, but names will never hurt me. It's not true. Names hurt like mad. And when somebody you love starts to call you a name, it makes you feel judged. It makes you feel like they are deciding who you are and how you are. So if your fighting escalates into swearing, cussing, swearing, and foul language, And then it escalates into judgment and name-calling and labeling. Then you start to feel judged. So name-calling might be as simple as, you know, blank you know, swearing. Or it could be, you are exactly like your father. You're acting just like your mother. I can't believe you. You're just acting like a baby. You're such a baby, always crying. Those are name-calling things. So when you look at the person and you decide that you know what they're behaving like, who they're behaving like, and it's your job to tell them that, you are going to degrade the conversation and the fighting is going to begin to go really south and it is no longer fair. So again, stop and look at your own behavior. Are you a name caller? Are you a cusser and swearer? Are you the person who says, you're just like this, you're just like that? If you are, you are contributing to an unfair fight. Okay. The other thing is to try and stay in the present. One of the things that degrades a fight faster than anything is to say, well, you were like this your whole life, or you did this last week, or in your past relationship, I bet this is the reason you got a divorce, or you throw in history. And along with history comes always and nevers. You always do this. You never do that. I always ask you to help make the bed, and you never do. That's just a little example. The ones I hear in my office are huge. But think of the always and nevers that you throw out to the person. You're fighting with your teenager, and your teenager looks at you and says, you never want to go anywhere. You never want to do anything. You never drive me anywhere. I ask you to help me with my projects, and you don't. And then the mother turns around and yells, well, you always wait till the last minute. You can't ask me the night before to do your science project with you and then expect me to stay up all night long. Those are the always and nevers that people tend to say to each other. And they degrade a conversation and they make it not productive at all. So the always and the nevers, staying in the present, not throwing old history things, noticing if you're being judgmental and labeling and you're calling names. And now I want to talk to you about something that I see that really hurts relationships and degrades intimacy. And this is when somebody uses private, important, intimate information that you know about your partner. And you use that to harm them or hurt them. We instinctively know our kids, our partners, our best friends. We instinctively know their triggers because usually they've shared them with us in moments of intimacy and moments of trust. When you pull those up and throw them out on the table, you are hitting below the belt. You are finding the information that you, any information that you can find to wound them, harm them, and let them know that you're superior. So that personal, private, intimate information should never, ever be thrown into a fight. Let me give you an example of that. Let's say that you instinctively know that your partner worries that he or she is not smart enough. They've always struggled with math, or they had trouble with reading in school, or they have trouble taking tests, or something like that. And you instinctively know, or they've even shared with you, I worry that I'm not really as smart as people think I am, or I'm really kind of stupid underneath. And so in the middle of a fight, you pull that out of your back pocket, and you throw it on them like a bucket of sludge, and you feel very righteous because you know you've thrown something at them that wounds them. But you've also destroyed some of the trust and the intimacy in the relationship. We don't ever want to use intimate information in a fight. It's unfair. It's nasty. It's mean. And it's one of the things that's very, very difficult to take back. And the one I see most often is when couples accuse them of being just like the parent that they struggle with. Like, say your wife has shared with you, I had a difficult time with my father. He was controlling and abusive and always had to be right. And if you argued with him and stood up with him, you got beat down somehow, either literally or figuratively. And I just, he's just a controlling bastard. And I don't know if I can say that word. Anyway, he's a controlling guy. And I hated dealing with him. So then later on in an argument, your husband yells at you, "You're just like your father. You're controlling and you're mean and you monopolize every conversation and I can't stand it because you're just like him." He threw that at you because he knew that would wound you and because you shared that information with him. So it's extremely hurtful. It does not make you feel safe or supported. And that's really important. And it's one of the ways that we build intimacy. So the things we're talking about never doing are the things that violate the respect in a relationship. Everything springs from respect when we're talking about communication. So we're back to that thing of how much control do you have? When you're one of these people that fights at that far end of the spectrum, screaming, yelling, hitting, domestic violence, emotional abuse, name-calling, labeling, telling the person that you have all the right information, you know what's happening, and they're wrong, and they're stupid, and they're just like fill-in-the-blank, then what you're doing is showing extremely abusive and emotionally abusive tendencies. And the other thing is you're showing a complete lack of emotional control. So what I'm asking you to do when I say don't ever do these things is to find a way to gain emotional control. And I'm going to tell you one way to do that. When you feel like calling the person you're fighting with a name, either you're selfish or you're stupid or you're just like this person or you always do that or you never do this, I know in your past relationships you've always been like that and that's what ruined them. Those are examples, right? When you feel like throwing some of that muck onto your partner, practice silence. Just be quiet. You can even say out loud, "I am trying very hard to not say things I should not say, and I'm trying very hard to not do anything that I'll regret, let anything come out of my mouth that's unfair. So I'm practicing silence. I'm going to not speak for a few minutes, or I'm going to take a break. Or I'm going to walk away until I calm down." When you want to harm the other person with your words, or worse, stop, walk away, and practice silence. Let yourself calm down. When you get super upset, you can get hijacked, which is where you're out of your frontal lobes, you're out of your temporal lobes, where you're trying to do behaviors and trying to understand and trying to use your words. And you get hijacked into your amygdala, where in your amygdala, you are at the center of your fight, flight, or freeze. Some people freeze and they can't talk, and that's why they end up going into that silence, love withdrawal place. Some people fight, they get bigger and bigger, and they have no control over their behavior or their words. And some people want to flee. They want to fly away, walk away, run. When you are way overwrought in a conversation, You end up going into your amygdala and wanting that fight, flight, or freeze. And that's not a healthy place to be communicating from anyway. So those are the things that you should never do. Wouldn't hurt to rewind this podcast and listen to that again and really get those honed down into your memory. Okay, we're going to take a break. And when we come back for the last section of the show, I'm going to teach you some things that you can do. Concrete things you can do to fight fair. This is Dr. Patricia Bay, and you are listening to Therapy in a Nutshell on KCNR, 1460 AM, 96.5 FM.
A jewel of the North State, a place we love to go and love being members.
The view, the best in the North State, from the restaurants, meeting rooms, and of course on the award-winning 18-hole golf course, Riverview Golf and Country Club. It's the place to belong.
Go in and meet the friendly staff today or go to their website at riverviewgolf.net and find out about their introductory memberships.
Riverview Golf and Country Club, corporate, social, tennis, fitness, and golf. Get it all. Become a member.
It's affordable and fun. Riverview Golf and Country Club.
Hi, I'm Sharon Clark of Home Helpers. It's amazing to look back at all the families we've touched since 2004, but our clients say it best.
I want to express my deep appreciation for the love and support you and your...
So fortunate to have an organization like Home Helpers.
You never know how much your contribution meant or how greatly you touched our lives.
Thank you so much for helping me care for my husband.
After hearing what it's meant to them, I truly can't imagine doing anything else. When you need help for your loved one, choose Home Helpers. There is no place like home.
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? Every week, there's a new chapter. To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program, Sunday morning at 9 a.m. on KCNR 1460 AM, with your hosts, Wynn Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archives link.
The time has come for 51 in a Jefferson State of Mind.
The McConnell Foundation is pleased to sponsor this year's Colt 45 season. We support hometown baseball in South City Park, part of the heart of Reading. Families, local businesses, and nonprofits make this community event successful. The McConnell Foundation believes the best way to build community is to support it together. Baseball is for everyone, from little leaguers to senior games. Thank you for rooting for our home team. Go Colt 45s!
Welcome back to Therapy in a Nutshell. This is Dr. Patricia Bay, and you are tuning in to KCNR. You're listening to the track called Love from Randy McGinnis's Freedom's Hope CD. Randy McGinnis is a Native American flute player, multi-award winners, played all over the world, played on the stage with the Prague Symphony and the Knoxville Symphony. He's just an amazing musician and just fills his music with love, with heart, with soul. Cherokee Native, and just a beautiful man. Thank you, Randy, for letting us use your music on my show. Okay, we're gonna continue talking about fair fighting. And in this segment of the show, I really want to give you some things to do that will help your fighting be fair. It's healthy to have disagreements and arguments. It's healthy to need to talk about difficult things with people. And an argument doesn't have to be screaming and yelling and swearing. Those are not productive. An argument can be intense. It can even be a little bit of raised voices, but it's how you do that and the words that you use. The really important part about fair fighting is respect. And the second part is, how do we be vulnerable? How do we recognize our own patterns? How do we own it when we screw up? How do we stop ourselves and say, wait, I'm doing this all wrong. Can I have a do-over? I want to tell you a really cute story. My oldest daughter, who is my ginger snap, she's my redhead. Adore her. I adore all my kids and grandkids. But anyway, my ginger snap always had to have the last word. She was feisty, and she was hard-headed and stubborn, and she always had to have the last word. And it got her in so much trouble. So my husband Rich and I worked with her ever, trying to get her to stop, trying to get her to practice silence. And one of the things that she resonated with when she was about 15 is we taught her how to, she'd clamp her hand over her mouth and she'd go, "Can I have a do-over?" And we'd say, "Yes." And she'd go back in her room, actually close the door and come out again. And she would have been screaming and yelling and doing horrible things a minute before. She comes back out and she goes, "Mom, Dad, do you think we could talk about," we would just smile, she'd smile, and we'd all kind of laugh. But it was really cool because she was recognizing her pattern of going on, you know, getting herself in trouble, starting to say horrible things, winding herself up and having to have the last word, and that was just going to lead down a really bad road. So she started to gain that control when she was 15. And I'll tell you where she finally learned that control is when she went into the Navy. In the Navy, she learned how to be quiet, or she would be in huge trouble. She learned her respect for authority and served our country. Thank you, Tara Jane. You're my baby, my ginger snap. But anyway, I wanted to use that example because even when it's hard to stop and recognize that you're heading down a really bad path, clamp your hand over your mouth and look and say, "Can I start over? I am totally messing this up." And ask for a do-over. Do-overs are fun. They're cute. And they're important because you're stopping and saying, I can do better than this. So remember that word, doing a do-over. So when you're going to start a conversation that's going to be a difficult one with your partner, it's really important that you define what you're going to talk about. If you can't write down, I'm upset about this, or I'm bothered about this, or I need to talk to you about this behavior that's really upsetting me, then you're not being clear. If you can write down in a few words or a sentence what it is you need to talk about, then you can stay focused on that subject. So that's a really important rule for fair fighting. You want respect. You want to be vulnerable. You want to own your own mistakes. You want to define what you're talking about, and you want to stick to it. You don't want to range off the subject. If anyone does try to range off the subject, you do the stop motion with your hands and you say, hey, that's a topic for another time. We're talking about this right now. So let's go back to the idea that you start to get really wound up. You get hijacked. You get stuffed into your amygdala, and all of a sudden you're screaming and yelling, and you need a do-over. You can also put your hands up. You can have a stop motion that you use with your partner, and you both have agreed to this stop motion, and it means I'm getting wound up. I need to walk away and calm down, and I will come back in at least 20 minutes. It takes at least 20 minutes to get out of your amygdala, sometimes 30. So you might say, when my stop action goes up, I need to walk away, calm down. I will come back in 30 minutes, and we'll start again. Okay, so another thing to do that is a positive thing to do while you're trying to fight fair is to recognize that you don't have to be perfect. That's how you allow yourself to say, I'm messing this up, I need a do-over, I'm not using my best skills, I need to walk away and calm down. That's you giving yourself permission to be human, to not be perfect, to recognize that you may have some unhealthy patterns. For example, if you're somebody who goes on and on and loops back around and loops back around and says it 10 times, you might stop and say, I'm looping, aren't I? And the other person can nod their head and say, yes, okay, I'm going to stop right here. I've said it enough times. Or the other person might have a nonverbal signal. I like nonverbal signals because they don't use words to trigger the other person. Like, say a nonverbal signal is when they touch the end of their nose, they're trying to say, hey, you're looping, and I don't want to be rude about it, but you've said that 3 times or 10 times or 100 times. You've been looping and saying it over and over again. So nonverbal signals are good when you've agreed with each other. Here's a behavior I'm trying to change. I'm trying not to escalate, or I'm trying not to loop, or I'm trying to stop name calling. And what they do is they can put their finger on the end of the nose, and that means you're doing that behavior you're trying not to do, and I'm respectfully trying to show you that you're doing that. So, all right, we're talking about the things that you should do. It's really important that you know how you feel about this topic. So your other person comes up and says, we need to talk about your chores, or we need to talk about how you're late coming home from work all the time, or we need to talk about how you didn't pick up at the grocery store what I asked you to, and I feel like you do that often. Notice that I didn't say you never go to the grocery store on the way home. I feel like that often happens, and it hurts my feelings. It makes me feel unimportant, which is very different than you're so stupid you can't remember, or you're so selfish that you won't help someone else out. You say how you feel. So you're using eye language, and that's a very old communication technique. We used to talk about eye language and you language. You do this, you do that, it's you always, as opposed to I feel. I feel hurt, I feel angry, I feel disregarded, I feel disrespected. So when you have a subject put on the table to fight about, ask yourself, how do I feel about this? Now, you might not feel any way until the person who put the subject on the table says, I need to talk to you about this and how it makes me feel, or how I don't like it, or how it's a problem that we have. Once you hear what the subject is and you're being asked to look at your own behavior, you will definitely have some feelings. So stop and say, is this me? Am I doing this? Because there's nothing better in a communication when you look at the person and say, yeah, I think I might be doing that. Or I need to take a look at that. I never thought of that before. Or I don't know, you could be right. I'll have to explore that. Those are just really cool words you can say when someone's coming to you with a difficult conversation. And some of those are in Communication Basics and Conflict Resolution podcast that I've got. So when you're having a difficult discussion and it's starting to get heated and you might be going over to that right part of the spectrum, the far end where you're screaming and yelling and calling names, it's really okay to say, this is falling apart. Let's put it aside. Let's walk away, calm down, and we'll come back again. And make a time and place. Make an appointment. We'll come back and sit down and close the door when the kids are asleep. Or when I get home from work, let's not do this on the phone right now. This is ridiculous. Let's do it when I get home tonight, and we'll sit down, face each other, and talk about this using our skills. I use that a lot when I talk to people. I teach them the skills, and then when everything falls apart, I often say to them, let me guess, you weren't using your skills. And they usually go, no, we weren't. And I said, so let's have the same conversation, only using your skills. And I do it in my office, and we use the skills, because from my chair, what I want is for them to get the process down. How do we actually fight fair? How do we communicate? How do we do healthy conflict resolution, not unhealthy conflict resolution? So I want them to do it correctly, and I don't really care if they get to the end of the argument or figure it all out, as long as they're using their skills in the right way. So the other thing that we're looking at is we need to understand our own emotions. Are we afraid to communicate? Do we really dislike conflict? And no, I can't tell you anybody that really thrives on conflict. Occasionally you see people that choose it and bring it up all the time. But no one really likes conflict. So know what your fears are when it comes to having a healthy fight. And that's where a good conversation happens with you and your partner. I don't like to have these arguments with you because you overpower me or you call me names. And if you've listened to this podcast together and you're really sitting there trying to own what you do, it really works to begin to change your behavior, and your partner saying, I'm going to work on that and change my behavior as well. So listen, go back and listen to this podcast. Add to it the podcast of communication and conflict resolution, and gain your skills to improve your relationship. It is so worth it and really, really works. So remember, the biggest lesson in good communication is to seek first to understand and then seek to be understood. If you follow that rule alone and you bring with it respect and your own vulnerability, you will go a long way to save your relationship. This is Dr. Patricia Bay, and you have been listening to Therapy in a Nutshell. Thank you so much for joining us. We're going to end this show with Randy McGinnis's song, Freedom, from Freedom's Hope. And I'd like to thank all of our military personnel who have served for us to keep us free. Thank you.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center.